Open up to Ephesians chapter 6. This may seem a little off topic, but it's not. It goes right in line with the prophecy that I read this morning that came recently, titled Know Your Significance. And I think we will probably put that prophecy as a PDF attachment. You can have this one if you want it after the service. In fact, even before I start the lesson, let me just read it again. It's only two paragraphs. It's good to hear it. This is Know Your Significance, and it really fits with tonight's message. I've birthed you for a sole purpose, and yet you hardly know your significance. Do not let the flesh or the mundane blind you. I know me, saith self unto you, yourself. I know me, I'm just me. But I say unto you that you are my son, my daughter, my high priest. That is to bring forth the high praises and the intercession in the earth that will bring forth the great and last day harvest of my kingdom, saith the Spirit of grace. For you've not expected more of yourself as you should, but expect far more of yourself in going forward. Put a higher mark to your life and expect yourself to be in a place with me that can turn the city and that can turn the nation, saith the Spirit of grace. When you think of smaller terms of yourself, you minimize my ability to flow through you in authority. And you minimize expectation of things in faith that will truly turn a city upside down, saith the Spirit of the Lord. When you relate to yourself as you would relate to a friend with many faults, and do not see the higher part of you. I'm going to read that sentence again. When you relate to yourself as you would relate to a friend with many faults, and do not see the higher part of you, which is called up into the higher places to make intercession for the city, when you live out of the familiar, then you demoralize and bring low the place of authority that is in you, that I have placed to bring forth the revival, saith the Spirit of grace. There is a pride that can exist out of the flesh, and too many guard themselves at the expense of the Spirit, saying, well, I'll not pride myself over there. But yet in the same way, you'll not live out of that place of authority by familiarizing yourself with the flesh. But you must come up higher, expect more, and do more, and be more for me, for that place of authority, saith the Spirit of grace. Now, what's really interesting to me, this actually came through Bronk Flint. I know it's at his website. You can see it. I did not see it for a few days after it came forward, so I had not heard it or read it when the Lord began dealing with me on the lesson I'm going to deliver tonight. And I'd already written this. Then when I saw this prophecy, I went, oh my goodness, he's saying in different ways the same thing in Immokalee, Florida, that he's saying here at the church. See, there is a, you know, the first sin really is pride. That's what the devil got caught up in. He was going to exalt his throne above God. You do have to watch pride, but he mentions in here another kind of pride. I know who I am. I'm just me. And you become like your own familiar friend. Yeah, that Gary, I know him. That guy, even this week, I said, somebody was kind of bragging on one of the messages, and I said it back to him in an email, you got to watch that guy. I hear he's pretty sketchy. Well, see, I'm trying to be, you know, cute, I guess. But the Holy Spirit's starting to say, okay, I'm tired of the cutesy stuff. When you say things like that about yourself, that's not who I say you are. And you are saying something about you that I'm not saying, and that is pride. It's a different form of pride. I know me. God's going, I know you. I know what I made you. I know what I've put in you. I know the authority I've given you. I know what you're capable of. Quit saying you know, because I'm the one that knows. Yeah, I know. Oh, I know. Anyway. So, in line with that, tonight's lesson is titled, Sin is Collaborating with the Enemy. Sin is collaborating with the enemy. But you're going to see why. I mean, on the surface, you go, oh, gosh, I know that. Well, I know. So let's start in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, see, and that's near the conclusion of Paul's letter to the Ephesians, which that church is probably the most mature church that we have record of in the New Testament. And right near he's coming to the end of it. This is how you're to live now. And putting on the armor of God has got nothing to do with how they, you know, I understand why they did it in Sunday school when we were kids. You know, you put on the belt of truth and you put on I understand that. But that's really not what it is. What it is when, like, the belt of truth is when you quit lying. Righteousness is when you start living righteously. Not by your own strength, but by the nature that he put in you. Peace is when you start walking in peace. Well, if you want to see some people that walked in peace, read Fox's Book of Martyrs. I'm reading it again. It's good for you every now and then. Well, it's good and horrible. But it's good and it's horrible. They're burning these people at the stake and they're giving them opportunity right up to the where they're going to light the match. You know, all you have to do is, you know, and really it wasn't always just reject Jesus. Sometimes they were going to burn them because they wouldn't agree that the wafer, when they passed out the bread at communion, they wouldn't agree that it was literally the flesh of Christ. You know, they burn you at the stake for that. Talk about the devil. And Polycarp was one of them, 80-some-odd years old, one of the early church fathers. And they gave him a chance right there. He's an old man. Everybody spoke well of this man. But he would not agree that the wafer was the literal flesh of Christ. And so we're giving you a chance. You can repent. And he says, my Lord has been faithful to me for all these 80-some-odd years that I have known him. How can I be unfaithful to him now? Do your worst. Now, whether it's history or legend, they lit the fire, and they say a wind came. Now, get him. He's tied to a pole. The flames come up, but they come up. This wind comes, and the flame comes up like in an arch around him and won't touch his body. That's what, you know, I wasn't there, but that's what they say. And finally, they had to kill him with a spear. And so they put a spear, just like Jesus put a spear right into his heart. And so much blood come out, it put out the fire. God's preaching through this guy, even to the very end. Well, talk about character, talk about knowing God, talk about resisting unto blood. Well, see, we tend to think getting back here to Ephesians 6, he's talking about how we live. This is who we are, regardless of what. See, if I'm gonna live according to Ephesians 6, Gary, you're a man that always tells the truth. And they go, no, I don't. God says, yes, you are. No, I know me. God says, no, I know you. You're talking about some other Gary. You're not talking about my son, Gary, who's birthed in the image of Christ. Put it on, Gary. This is who you are. Tell the truth. We tend to think that our personal sins are, and I'm going to define sin a little later, okay? But we tend to think that our personal sins are just about us and that they really don't have much to do with spiritual warfare. Or you could say it another way, it doesn't really have much to do with the outpouring of revival. That's just me, my personal stuff. And we tend to think, it's so amazing to me. I had not heard this prophecy when I wrote this now. We tend to think, I'm just little old me. If I sin today, it doesn't keep God from pouring out revival. My sin only affects me. But today when I woke up, I heard the Holy Spirit clearly say, sin is collaborating with the enemy. Well, I thought I knew what collaborating meant, but I look it up at dictionary.com. And collaborate, the definition is to cooperate, usually willingly, with an enemy nation, especially with an enemy occupying one's country. It's a traitor. It's a traitor. That passage quoted above from the book of Ephesians is near the end of the book. Paul is coming to the conclusion based on everything he has said up to that point. Has most of the book been about us doing spiritual warfare in the heavenlies, the way we usually think about it? I'm going to tear down these strongholds over my city. I'm going to this and I'm going to that. Well, it does talk some about praying with all prayer and so forth. But what is the emphasis of the book of Ephesians? And really, you could take all of them, like Romans through Revelations chapter 3, where he gets through talking to the seven churches. It's holiness and doctrine, for the most part. Paul has been teaching about walking in maturity, no longer being blown about by every wind of doctrine in Ephesians. He's been talking about walking free from sin. Remember, he says, I don't want you walking anymore like the Gentiles walk. I want you to walk worthy of your vocation. Walk as children of light. Put away sin of every kind. Not only the major sins, such as fornication and adultery, but also things like lying, stealing, and even anger. Remember that? So the focus of the letter has been on maturity and walking righteously so as to live a holy lifestyle. The question is, if that's the subject of the book, why does he end it here with spiritual warfare? With the analogy of a soldier putting on this armor of God and going into battle against wicked spirits. He hardly, other than taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and praying all with all prayer, like two verses out of the whole letter, why all that emphasis on holiness and doctrine? Well, when I heard the phrase about collaborating with the enemy, I knew it was in reference to receiving an outpouring of revival. So the question is, what does my personal sin have to do specifically with collaborating with the enemy in regards to holding back revival? Now, there's many points to be made here, but for sure the Holy Spirit today was emphasizing the effects of condemnation when we keep falling back into sin. Two verses kept coming to my mind. They're so familiar, you don't need to turn here. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. The second one is 1 John chapter 3, verse 21. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Looking at just Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation to those which walk not after the flesh. Well, what if you are? What if you're constantly walking after the flesh and you're a born-again Christian? Remember all that teaching about the conscience that we receive of the new nature that tells you right from wrong, red light, green light, and you're constantly red lighting all the time? You know, eat too much, drink too much, smoke too much, watch too much this, say too much that, go there too much, tell that joke, hear that joke, be where they tell those jokes. And your own spirit, the holy, righteous person that's really you on the inside, man, it's the one smiting you. It's the one hurting your confidence. So we'll get some more verses in a minute. When we sin, even occasionally. It's our own righteous heart, our reborn human spirit. You could say our sanctified conscience. That's what condemns us. It is true that the blood of Jesus never loses its power to cleanse us from unrighteousness. Thank God for 1 John 1:9. But in practical application, a lifestyle of repeatedly falling into sin, repenting, falling into sin again, repenting over and over, leads to a life of us having little to no confidence when we approach God, our Heavenly Father. Even though we know that the blood is there to cleanse us again and again, repeatedly falling into those sins, it causes our heart to condemn us. And it causes us to lose confidence that our prayers will be heard and answered. Now see, we got scripture for that. 1 John chapter 3. Let's go ahead and look at this one. 1 John chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. Because we're talking about a people that are going to bring revival. So, well, my little... Okay, I'll get to that in a minute. To me now, suddenly it's like the fog is lifted. If we don't put on the armor of God, that's exactly what he's talking about. If we don't live righteously, think soberly with the helmet of salvation, live in peace, walk the way we know to walk, live in peace. If we don't put that on, we're not going to win the war. See, and this thing is by faith. It's by us walking with our God. And if we're constantly condemned, even if it's our own heart doing the condemning, we're not going to receive from God. We're not going to have confidence when we pray. Okay. So 1 John chapter 3, look at verses 21 and 22. Beloved, well, if you underline, if our heart condemn us not even God, said if our heart condemn us not. Do you see that? If our heart condemn us not, then, can I say, and only then, if words mean anything, then have we confidence toward God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And the truth of the gospel is, well, I can't keep the commandments. No, you're talking about somebody else. He rebirthed you. He empowered you. That's what grace is all about. I'm coming on the inside of you to strengthen you with my strength. That's what it means. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Not his might as sitting somewhere in heaven. His might on the inside of you. That's the whole gospel. Well, not the whole. That's a big part of the gospel. Isn't that right? We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And he gave us that wonderful conscience. I call it the mechanism of righteousness. If you just learn to obey that, you know, if it says don't watch that, don't watch it. If it says don't say that, don't say it. If it says don't go there, don't go there. If it says do give money to that person, give money to that person or candy or whatever he says. As we learn to do that and flow with him. Oh, and I see, I'm reminded right now, during the conference, I read that letter from our good friend Barry Johnson, who he quoted those from Smith Wigglesworth's book called The Wigglesworth Standard. A couple of people at Wigglesworth even admired. And he says, how did you get to where God uses you like this? This is when Wigglesworth was maturing. And he says, well, I would hear from the Lord. This guy says, come away, and I would come away. And I'd hear him, whatever he said, I would do that. And then that would happen again, and it would happen again. He says, eventually one day I just found myself that I had been completely taken over by another mind. And I was just flowing with him. My mind and his mind, we had become one. Are y'all hearing any verses on the inside? Father, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, thou in me, that they may be perfect in one. Amen? Okay. Because we can't, so 1 John 3, verses 21 and 22. Verse 22 especially, is this revival? Whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. It's called walking with him. There's a book out. I heard there's a book by an up-and-coming young evangelist or teacher. I think his name's Dave Roberson. It's called The Walk of the Spirit, The Walk of Power. And really, I'm kind of, if you learn to walk in the Spirit, you'll walk in power. Because you won't be self-condemning yourself. You won't be condemning yourself all the time. You'll have confidence. All right, let me continue. So it's important to understand there, if our heart, not his heart, if our heart condemn us not, then, and I like to say, and only then, have we confidence toward God. Angie's sitting here, my beloved daughter. I got two others, and they're all wonderful. They're all completely different, and I wouldn't change them in any way. I love them. But they've always been my daughters. I don't think they've ever really doubted our love for them, you know. But there was times. Now, Angie always said she rebelled the least, and that's true. But there were times my love never wavered. But was I happy with what they were doing? Absolutely not. And they weren't either. Thing of it is, they thought they were at the time. But they were going against everything that ever been taught. They were going against. I'm picking on them. I could pick on Gary as a young man. Same thing. My parents didn't teach me to do the stuff I did. Come on. And aren't you glad I don't know about your stuff, so I can't preach it. But anyway. I'm getting some witnesses here. So if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. But when we repeatedly just break his commandments, I'm going to say it this way, and violate the new nature, the law of love, when we repeatedly do that, we know we're not walking pleasing in his sight. I was going to say about Angie, you know, like during one of those real rebellious times, maybe she did something, and, you know, there's tension in the house. She knows that's not the time to come and ask for ice cream. You know? Isn't that right? Do I love her? Absolutely, I love her. Do I have ice cream for her? Most likely. But I'm not. That's not the time to fellowship. There's a strain. I'm probably not going to be handing out the ice cream right then. Okay? This is very much what we're talking about. He loves you. He doesn't ever not love you. He's for you. He's pulling for you, just like this prophecy. He's going, would you quit? Would you quit operating as such a... Would you stop having such a low esteem of who you are? And would you believe what I say who you are? And just come up higher and quit operating down here like this and come up higher and operate like Ephesians 6. Put on the whole armor. That's who you are. Okay. Hallelujah. But if we're knowingly all the time living in a condemned state, and I'm talking about our own self, looking at every, and you can get in a habit of looking at every fault too much. Anyway, that's another message. Okay, so what is sin? You can be turned into Romans 14. See, the group that I'm preaching to, not only here tonight, I know you guys have been pruned and pruned and pruned. Hopefully your little nubs on your tree is getting pretty small, okay? Pruning, pruning. So we're not really talking, especially to this group, and probably if you're watching me, probably not, you're not involved in what we call the deal breaker sins at this point. Adultery, fornication, murder. I hope you're not out there murdering. You know, a lifestyle of a thief. And what we call the deal breaker sins, you know you can't live that way and even make heaven, much less call down revival, okay? But see, what is sin? What are the things that condemn us before God? And like for this group, okay? Well, Romans 14, 23. And I better turn there because I didn't put down any context here. So Romans 14. Hallelujah. And we're going to pick it up here in verse 23. It just says, and he that doubteth is damned. And that's just the word condemned. He that doubteth is condemned if he eat. because he eats not of faith. For whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Now, in the context, if you back up here, he's talking about eating meat that's been dedicated to idols. Paul, in his discourse, says, we know that these idols are nothing in the world. They're nothing. It doesn't really matter if you eat from that food or not. But if your fellow believer, the weak one, if he believes it's wrong to eat it, don't eat it and cause him to stumble. Because if he thinks it's wrong and he eats it, his own spirit, his own mind at least, is going to condemn him. He's going to be condemned before God. That's the context here. So what Paul is saying really is going, there's really nothing wrong. I could eat that meat and be fine. I know, but he says, I know that it's okay. I know that there's no God there. There's no, that idol is nothing but a piece of wood or a piece of stone. But if it's going to make my brother stumble, I'm not going to eat it. Because I don't want him living. I could eat it and not have a condemned conscience, but he can't. If he eats it, he's going to feel condemned. And it plainly says, whatever's not of faith is sin. The Amplified is much better on this verse. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. Verse 14, 23. But the man who has doubts. Now, so let's don't think now about, in America today, it's not a big, we don't have a big issue with meat sacrificed to idols, okay? Let's think other things, okay? But the man who has doubts, misgivings, an uneasy conscience about eating and then eats, perhaps because of you, he stands condemned because he is not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith. For whatsoever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful. So, I'm going to take Gary and Sue. We like to relax once in a while, watch a little TV. That's getting to be a harder and a harder thing. And they're getting sneaky. You know, there'll be a new series. Ah, something new. This looks interesting. We like detective shows. Who done it? Who did it? You know. And they'll start off the season and everything's going pretty good. And about episode 3, here comes the person that's living the alternate lifestyle. Or here comes something else. And just right away, right in your knower, right in your gut, it's way deeper than your brain. We just look at each other like, okay, that's it. We're not watching that anymore, you know. It's gone. Now, if I ignore that and I keep watching it, my own spirit is going to convict me. Even if it's not, say, well, big deal, you're watching TV. It's not like you're committing murder. No. Whatever's not of faith is sin. If I'm doing something that I don't believe God approves of, and I firmly believe he doesn't approve of that, and I'm going to keep doing it anyway. Don't tell me that doesn't put a strain on my relationship. It does too. Not necessarily from his point of view, but from my point of view. It's my heart condemning me. And I'm going to feel like Angie or one of my other daughters when they were in rebellion and knew they were in rebellion. That's not the time to ask for ice cream. Doesn't give you great confidence. Not time to come and ask for something better. Well, where we're going... Yes, sir. I'm laughing because I'm feeling his pleasure. Because, you know, don't you love Thanksgiving, Christmas, the good ones where the family gets along, and there's laughter in the house. And there's joy and there's food and, man, you know, and everything's... Some people probably can't even relate to that because their family fights so much. But I thank God that we've had some really good ones. You know, most of ours have been really... In fact, nearly all of them have been really good. Fondest memories of my life, a lot of them. And that's what the Father wants for us every day. That we walk with him and talk with him. And with that nature he put on the inside of us, we're just totally responsive to it. It's a pure guide. It'll guide you all day, every little decision. Yes, no, yes, no. And the joy of walking with him. Remember, he says, come out from among them and be you separate. And I will walk with you. I will walk in you. I will be your God. You will be my people. I will be a father unto you. But you got to come out from among them and be you separate. Well, how do you do that? By the listening to the new nature. Listening to that righteous guide that's on the inside of you. And if he says, don't watch that. See, I know it'll come to the place. We're going to be too busy with revival to even care about TV. Okay? I understand that. We're not there yet. But anyway. Hey, when I consider all the stuff we... That's already gone. Okay. Anyway. I hear laughter. I'm already feeling his pleasure at getting to walk more in fellowship with us day by day. It's almost like, oh, Father, I'm just going to walk with you today. Lord, I must thank you for this new nature. Thank you for the life you give me. Thank you for your word. Thank you, I know this is wrong, and I know that is wrong, and I'm not going to do that. Father, I'm just looking forward to walking with you. And as we do that more and more, our own heart will develop a confidence toward him. That when we, see, Angie today, are you kidding? What's she going to ask for that I'm not going to give her? You know, there isn't anything. All that I have is hers, you know, if she needs it. That's the way our Father is. He's just looking for us to grow up and mature and to think. You know, it's one verse is, think not more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but really the church has thought way lower of themselves than they ought to think. And that's just as wrong. And that's what he's trying to correct now. I know me. I'm just me. I'm that old friend that's full of faults. Yeah. I don't know about this prophecy. It came through that sketchy guy. Who am I talking about? God's going, where? What sketchy guy? We got to stop that. Say it with me. I am a child of God. I am on temporary loan on this earth to facilitate the bringing of the kingdom of God so that the will of my Father be done on this earth. I am an invading force against the God of the darkness of this world. And I'm here to set the captives free in Jesus' name. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. And my job is to go forward in Jesus' name, kick down every gate, and set every captive free in the name of Jesus. That's who I am. Hallelujah. That's who we really are, see? And he's, rise in your thinking. Stop seeing yourself as this jumble of problems. Even as we walk through the wall of fire and he's helping us prune things that need to go, he's telling us, raise your sights to understand who I have made you. Yes, sir, I keep hearing it. It's a false pride. I hope I can say it better each time. It's a false pride for you to tell God that you know him, you know you better than he knows you. See, my friend John is over here. He's amening. But it's the same thing to Gary. I do it all the time. And it just has to stop. It has to stop. This, goddamn. And you got to watch. You got to watch the ditch on the other side. If you're not careful, you can get in pride either way. I know who I am. No, you don't. God knows who you are. Or I'm really special. Then you start thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to think. Everyone's an apostle or an apostolate all of a sudden, you know. No. Let him use you right where you are. Let him use you right where you are. But we got to raise our thinking to what he says. So let me finish this up here now. Sin is collaborating with the enemy because it keeps us in a constant state of self-condemnation from our own heart. I'm a true revivalist. Do you like that word? I am a revivalist. Everyone here, everyone in the sound of my voice, you are, if you're still here after all this, you are a revivalist. A true revivalist must walk in confidence that he is a child of God. And as Paul stated earlier in his letter to the Ephesians, to walk worthy of his vocation wherein he is called. And he said that in Ephesians 4:1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. That word beseech means beg. I'm begging you. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. I keep seeing this, so my job's not to ignore it. I keep seeing my dad as a soldier in World War II. Remember the very first principle that we learned in the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the poor in spirit. And I didn't know forever what that was. And finally, he got it across to me. It's the same attitude of every soldier. My dad in World War II, it's absolute surrender to the army that you're in. They decide where you go. They decide what gun you carry. They decide what ammunition you have. They decide what you're going to eat. They decide what clothes. Everything about it. You have submitted your life to the will of that army. And that is the first principle for living as a child of God. Father, I am totally committed to your kingdom. Everything I am, everything I have, everything I will have, including this body, is yours. I am a soldier in the army of the Lord. Right back to our analogy, put on the whole armor of God. It's that attitude. And I think about my dad, spent almost 5 years in Germany, okay? But he never became German. And thank God he never collaborated with the enemy over there. But what we're doing, we're an army, an invading force here on planet Earth, and we keep collaborating with the enemy by doing stuff that's totally against our nature. It's totally against our army. And he says, every time you do it, really, you're collaborating. But every time you do it, you're co-laboring, you're collaborating with the enemy. Not just because of the sin, but because of the condemnation it causes, that then causes you not to receive from God. It causes you not to receive. You don't have confidence that when you pray, you're going to get the answer. I don't think Jesus was like that at all. Do you? But he also walked free from sin. And thank God, that's what grace is. He has empowered us. Remember, the grace of God teaches us to live godly in this present world, to deny ungodliness and the lusts of the world so that we could live soberly and righteously and godly in this present world. That's what the grace of God is. He's empowered us by the nature. So all he's really saying is quit seeing yourself as this old buddy of yours that's full of faults. That's not who you are. You are who I say you are in the book of Ephesians and all these other books. Start saying that about yourself. Start walk by that nature that I put on the inside of you. And again, I can almost feel his pleasure. He's looking forward to this more than you are. He is. He's looking. Do you think God doesn't want to give Victoria her brain? I absolutely. Do you think he doesn't want to open Homer's eyes down in Immokalee? Oh, my goodness. He's looking forward to this more than we are. Hallelujah. I really recommend that prophecy to you about know your significance. And we'll have that along with this message.